Assalamu alaikum. Welcome and thank you for downloading the Ministry of Dawah podcast. Search for us on Facebook and on YouTube.
This week's topic is Empire Strikes Back.
Inna alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah rabbil alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Jazakumullahu khairan brothers. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. The Prophet said in a hadith that is sahih, recorded in Ahmad ibn Hanbal's Musnad, and if you want to check it out, it's hadith number 18,430. It's also sahih by Sheikh Albani in his Silsilatu Sahih, hadith number 5. Also Hassan, graded by Shu'aib al-Na'ut, also in his book as well, the hadith. As the Prophet said, تَكُونُ نَبُوَّتْ فِيكُمْ مَا شَاءَ اللَّهُ أَنْ تَكُونُ. He says, there will be prophethood amongst you for as long as it wills, as it is. ثُمَّ يَرْفَعُهَا إِذَا شَاءَ اللَّهِ يَرْفَعُ. And then Allah will raise it for amongst you when He so wills. Then the hadith continues. ثُمَّ تَكُونُ خِلَافَ عَلَى مِنْهَاجِ النَّبُوَّةِ. And then there will be a khilafah upon the method of the Prophet ﷺ. ثُمَّ يَرْفَعُهَا إِذَا شَاءَ اللَّهِ يَرْفَعُ. And then Allah will raise it when He so wills. And the hadith continues. ثُمَّ تَكُونُ مُلْكًا عَادًا فَتَكُونَ مَا شَاءَ اللَّهُ تَكُونَ يَرْفَعُهَا إِذَا شَاءَ اللَّهُ يَرْفَعُ. And then there will be hereditary rule. So hereditary rule will be present, and Allah will raise it when He so wills. And then the hadith again continues. ثُمَّ تَكُونُ مُلْكًا جَبْرِيًّا فَتَكُونُ مَا شَاءَ اللَّهُ تَكُونَ يَرْفَعُهَا إِذَا شَاءَ اللَّهُ يَرْفَعُ. And then there will be a rule which is oppressive, or a rule which is coercive, a rule which is strong. And the ulama say that this situation, the situation of the ummah today, is that part of the hadith. And the part we're going to focus on inshallah tonight is the last part of the hadith, where the Prophet ﷺ said, and he continued, and he said, ثُمَّ تَكُونُ خِلَافَ عَلَى مِنْهَاجِ النَّبُوَّةِ وَثُمَّ سَكَتْ. He said, and then after that, and then continuing after that, after this oppressive rule, there will be a khilafah again that is upon the method of the Prophet ﷺ. And then in the last part it says, ثُمَّ سَكَتْ, which means he remained silent. And inshallah this evening, Brother Bilal will be going into that part in terms of the return of the Islamic Empire, if you like, or the return of this Islamic rule. Inshallah. So without any ado, I'll pass it over to Bilal. He'll take it through, inshallah.
Assalamu alaikum, brothers. 1,433 years ago, a group of Muslims traveled from Mecca to Medina. This was the first of its kind within our ummah. They traveled to Medina due to oppression, and you know they were getting tortured by the people in people in Mecca. So they went, and from there, from Medina, Islam through the Muslims grew. Every year, every decade, it grew strength to strength. So it went from Mecca to Medina, and then from there came back, conquered Mecca. From there conquered Arabia. From there conquered the Middle East. From there conquered North Africa, Asia, South Asia, Central Asia. From there it even advanced onto Europe. But not only military expansion, they were also technological advancements. So we look at the first prototype of camera. We see the first compass, the first device to which way to pray. This was done all the way back in our forefathers' time. This was the strength that they had. But on the 3rd of March, 1924, something devastating happened to this group of people. This group of people, remember, is not it wasn't when they first moved. It was a small group of people, but at this point, due to their advancements and due to their power, they had grown into a massive empire that spanned four continents. But in March the 3rd, 1924, something devastating happened. Something so devastating that we feel the effects 87 years later. We feel it right here, we feel it in Bangladesh, we feel it in Pakistan, we feel it in the any country in the Middle East, we feel it even if we go America. The implications of that day are everywhere. Wherever we look, we could see it. What was this devastation? What happened on the 3rd of March? On the 3rd of March, the authority that governed the Muslims, that made us strong, that took us from strength to strength, that pushed us forward, that protected the Ummah, was destroyed. Came to an end, finished. But I don't want to go too much into what happened and how it was caused. I want to look at the reality of what came about because of the absence, because of this destruction. So we could take many examples. We look at the Muslim world anywhere. We look at poverty. Poverty within the Muslim world. Why are you, why am I here? Why are we here? Because our countries, the places where our parents were born, were unable to look after the needs and affairs of our parents, our grandparents. Some people are third generation, some people are second generation. Our parents, our grandparents were unable. Not because they didn't have the power or the resources, or the, but the negligence of the people that took over. We see that the Ummah today flocks to the West, flocks. Even today, we see people from all over the Muslim world flocking to the West because of economical problems. Another one, disunity. Disunity, we have never been disunited throughout our history. Yes, there have been different areas of control, and this was throughout time, but we've always known to protect each other. We've always been known to protect each other. Like Salahuddin Ayyubi, who was a Kurd, he was Kurdish, who went to Egypt and then liberated Palestine. Jerusalem, it was more Jerusalem, not Palestine. We liberate Palestine. But today, we've been split up into 50-something countries. And any problem that occurs in your neighboring country, that's not your problem. It's their problem. It's an Egyptian problem. It's a Lebanese problem. It's a Palestinian problem. It's an Arabian problem. It's a Pakistani problem. It's a Kashmiri problem. The disunity has never been this bad. And this was caused when the head, the authority that kept everyone together was destroyed, and our lands was drawn, our borders was drawn with a ruler. Literally, guy sat there, ruler, pencil, I'm taking this, you're taking that. I like the look of this land, I'm taking this place. That's how it was done. Simple as, if you go look, you see how straight it is. How can it be that straight? It was done like that, and then people were put in place. Another problem. Insults. Insults. How many insults do we see? There was, on Facebook, Draw Muhammad Day. They dedicated a day to depict our Rasul. They dedicated a day, a whole day, to drawing our Rasul. And there was no response from no one. Nothing. Nothing happened. It was just another day. Burn the Quran day. A day dedicated to burning the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Quran. This is not just any book. This is a book that we will give our life for. We will never put it on the floor. And these guys are burning it to mock us in soul. The cartoons where they depicted the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam in grotesque ways. What was the response? A boycott on Danish products by the people. A boycott on Danish products by the people. Not by the rulers, not by the people in charge, but by the people. What did that do? That stopped them from doing it again? Even worse. We think this problem comes from, this insults only come from the Western world? No. Bangladesh. There was a newspaper, correct me if I'm wrong, Pratham Alam, who depicted the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam as, you know, the pictures that were shown in Bangladesh. This is a Muslim country insulting our Rasul on a national paper. What was the response? The guy had to say sorry. Then he was told to go back. The guy had to just say sorry and he was told to go back. This is the response of the Muslims. Another one, another problem. Occupation. Occupation. How many countries do we see physically occupied? Palestine, Kashmir, Iraq, Afghanistan. How many countries have we seen devastated by war? If you remember some time back where it was Bosnia, where people were just lined up and killed. Lined up, men and children lined up and just killed. The Chechens, the Russians, cut open a pregnant woman's stomach and squashed the fetus. What was the response? There was none. The UN stepped in. The UN. What was the response from the Muslim leaders? These problems, over the only 86, remember, Islam has been around for 1,433 years. Well, no, sorry, Islam has been around for longer than that, but the calendar is done to the immigration, and that's the year that we're in today. 1,433. And within 87 years, we've seen us decline from a world superpower where America paid us tax. America's only paid tax to two countries, or two nations, and one was us. From being a nation that took a tax of America to being the froth of the sea, being nothing, scum of the world, being moved around. So how does this leadership, how does this link into the leadership? How is this linked to the fall? How this could have just happened? You know, this could have been, you know, one of those things. How does this link? Like I said, what were the responses of our leaders when these things happened? How would a true Amir of the Muslims solve these problems? For example, disunity. We talked about being cut up, literally cut up, pencil and ruler. And what do the people do? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, whoever gives a handspan away of the Muslim land is what? Reserved a handspan in Jahannam. Jahannam. And we've given away nearly everything. We've given away everything. Our rulers today, for their own benefit, give away whatever they want. If we look at the time, if we look at our history, we see great men who stepped up, who asked, give us this land. Who asked, give us this land. But they refused. Why? Because they knew that this land wasn't theirs. This land wasn't theirs for profiteering. This land was given to them as given to them to God, to be a God over that land, to be able to look after that land, to keep everyone within that land safe, free, and, you know, away from corruption and hardship. Again, with the insults, how did the Muslim rulers in the past deal with it? The Muslim rulers in the past dealt with it very simply. Any insults will be dealt with by force. We do not take insults to our Rasul. This is absolute a no-go area. There are hadiths to tell us why, but I don't want to really go into it. But what did our rulers do in the past when people tried to do plays and depict our Rasul? They stood firm. They stood firm and they made sure nothing like this happened. Nothing like this happened. No matter how they were inside, this between them and Allah, but they never allowed any insults on our Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ever. What about poverty? If we look at our Muslim lands today, just the Middle East itself holds the largest amount of oil reserves. Where does the money go for that? Recently, if you've been watching the news, you know that the uprisings across the Middle East. Saudi Arabia, I'm not too sure how much they handed out, but they started handing out money to the people. Where did that money come from all of a sudden? People dying in the streets before, but now, you know, as soon as you see your seat being, you know, someone tugging at the seat, you bring out the money from nowhere, anywhere. Your money starts coming out from all sides. Same with the other rulers. If you look at Bahrain, they did the same thing. Money started coming out. Where's this money coming from? If you look at our manpower, the land we live on, all this can be used. If the leaders were sincere to the people, can be used to help these people, to build infrastructure. Why have our countries been so... Why Bangladesh has a massive gas reserve, but yet we're so far behind? Why? What, but yet we see our rulers driving around in Mercs. These rulers. I remember there was a story. Who remembers when Bangladesh came under military rule? There were stories of people leaving cars on the streets, Mercs, BMWs, just leaving them on the street because they were too scared to claim it was theirs, because they would be asked, how did you get it? So people just left it. Where did all these... Well, how comes these people have so much money that they can leave fancy cars on the middle of the road while so many people go hungry? Why did we have to come all this way? Bangladesh isn't just there. 9-hour flight. All this way to earn money. Why wasn't our fathers and our uncles and our granddads, why weren't they given the help in their land to raise their families there? And the other one, and even occupation, we went through it, we look at the lands. What happened when Palestine was occupied? The Muslims responded. Palestine, I keep saying Palestine, it was just Jerusalem. Yeah, it was just that one city, and it's just Jerusalem. We responded. We gathered our forces and we responded. But yet today, Jerusalem The massacres and the killings happen constantly. These people use kids. They tie kids onto the front of their cars so the people won't shoot back at them or throw stones at them. These people use kids as shields when they enter houses. These people use chemical weapons on our women, so our kids yet to be born come out mutated. But yet there's no response. This is a Palestinian thing. This is a problem in Palestine. But yet we see from the past that our rulers, when oppression came, they stepped up. When the Mughals conquered, destroying even our capital city, we responded. We responded and we defended our land and we took it back. So is it all doom and gloom? Is that it? We're going to be, you know, pushed around for the rest of our lives? Is that how the Muslims are going to live? Is that what the Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said? As the brother said before, as the brother quoted the hadith, we could tell from the hadith, this is a prophecy. He obviously talked, this was a prophecy of things to come, of things to happen. A prophecy on the rulership. So the Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam started off by telling his sahabas that his reign, the Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's reign, will come to an end when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills. After that, rightly guided men, before Khulafa, who will be on the minhaj, the method of the Rasul, will take power. After that, there will be kingship. We all know about the Abbasids, the Umayyads, the Uthmanis, and there were so many, you know, other kingships. And that will last as long as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills. And it will be taken away. And it will be replaced by an oppressive rule. And again, Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, this will last as long as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills. We have no control over it. No control. And then, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ready, He will change it into what? What would He change it into? What is the next step of this prophecy? Remember, these prophecies, we believe in them with yaqeen, with full trust. What will be next? The Rasul is telling us that the next step is a rulership, an amir, a khilafah, on the method of the Rasul. Similar to what the Sahabas had. Similar to what the Sahabas had. This is the next step. And then he remains silent, and we don't know what happens after that. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. So the next step is a just ruler, alhamdulillah. We pray for its return. We pray for it to return now. But only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. So what does that mean for us? What does that mean for us? What does this prophecy mean for us? How do we know that, you know, this rulership's not here? How do you know it's even part of Islam? There are many people out there today who question the legitimacy of a rulership or even politics in Islam. And that's one of the things that we want to tackle today. That this rulership is not only from Islam, but it is an obligation, just like you pray, just like you fast, just like you go to Hajj, if you are capable, this is an obligation. It is something that we must do. We have none whatsoever, no question, we have no authority on it. It's already dealt with. We cannot refute this. This is done. This Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us the hukum. I just want to quote an ayah of the Quran, Surah Maida, Surah 5, verse number 44. And just quickly go through it. To be honest, just from this, I don't understand how people are not clear on how, you know, Islam is here to rule. Here to rule us, the Muslims. How we should have this as the highest authority. It starts off by talking about the Torah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we did reveal the Torah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is confirming reveal the Torah. In which is guidance and a light, by which the prophets who surrendered to Allah judged the Jews, and the rabbis and the priests judged by such of Allah's scripture as they were commanded to observe, and to it they were witnesses. We all know from a hadith of the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he said that Bani Israel were ruled by prophets. When one prophet died, another one came and took over. And the Muslims will be ruled by Khulafa. So from this, we understand that here, the prophets judged to who? Did they judge themselves? No, they judged the Jews, their people. They judged their people on what? On the, what the scripture had revealed. So how does that, it is talking about the Jews, how does this link to us? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala carries on. So fear not mankind, but fear me. Fear not man, but fear Allah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, you know, these people like Husni Mubarak, these people like Ben Ali, these people like Gaddafi, do not fear them. And alhamdulillah, the Muslims are realizing. Do not think that these men have power. Only Allah has power. And he carries on. And barter not my revelations for a little gain. Barter not my revelations for a little gain. What does that mean? We see some people who come out with these dodgy fatwas. These absolutely dodgy fatwas. And you don't want to even question it, because it's that dodgy. You're like, where did this come from? And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala carries on. Who judges not by that which Allah has revealed? Such a kafir. This ayah just by itself, it does just does not touch up on reality today. But just by itself, who judges not by which Allah has revealed a kafir? And we all understand from the previous where Allah subhanahu talked about the prophets judged the Jews. We understood the Khulafa are our leaders today. And they judge the Muslims by what? Quran. That for me is enough. I do not see how that is not clear to tell you that judging within Islam is a fard. It's clear. Whoever does not judge by that which Allah has revealed is kafir. And there's other ayats who continue. Are wrongdoers, are zalim, fasik. There's another ayah. This is against Al-Maidah, number 48. So judge between them by that which Allah has revealed, and follow not their desires. Follow not their desires away from the truth which has come to you. How more clear can it be? How more clear can that be? Do not judge by your desires. Judge by what Allah has revealed. And what happens today? Our rulers decide what is halal and what is haram. They decide if prostitution is allowed in our countries or not. If alcohol should be served, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself has declared this to be abandoned. They follow their whims and desires. These ayat relate to today. These ayats relate to today more than any time. They judge not what Allah has revealed. There are also hadiths, you know, the quotations carry on. If you go through it, you see continuously, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continuously talking about this. But obviously, we need to move on. Inshallah, we'll go move on to some. Okay, quickly, there's some hadiths that I want to go through. We shall talk about this. The hadith of Muslim, if you die without the bayah on your neck, you die at the death of Jahiliyyah. If you die without giving allegiance, you die at the death of Jahiliyyah. What does that mean? It means, if we don't have a place to pray, what do? We make sure that there's a place to pray. And then we pray. Just like that, to make sure that we don't die at the death of Jahiliyyah, we make sure that this rule, this bayah is given. And the only way to give it is bring it back. So, we know it's a fard. We understand it's coming back, even if we like it or not. It's coming back. Nothing we can do to stop or affect when it comes back. It's coming back. But are we as Muslims going to stand by and watch this come back? Are we just going to sit and observe as this, the might of Islam comes back? Will we not be part of it? What can be greater than raising Islam to the highest when Islam is brushed aside? When everyone is brushing Islam aside and going for things like democracy and capitalism. When people choose kufr over Islam, what can be greater than to push Islam to the forefront? This is an opportunity. This is something that no other generation within the time frame of the beginning of the Hijr to the destruction has had. No other generations had this chance. No other generation had the opportunity to do this work. Apart from the Sahabas. And we all know where the Sahabas are going. We all know the reward of the Sahabas. So what does that tell us? Do we not want to emulate the Sahabas? I want to just quote a few ayah of Quran that highlight this point very nicely. This is Surah Al-Hajj, verse number 40, surely Allah will help those who help Him. Surah 47, Surah Muhammad, verse number 7, O you who believe, us, right here, right now, us, O you who believe, Allah is talking directly to you and me and him. Everyone. He is talking directly, O you who believe, do we not believe? If you help Allah, we cannot even do anything to help Allah. But yet Allah is telling us, what does he mean by if you help Allah? He will help you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will help us, and will make your foothold firm. If we go out and do the job that the Sahabas did, who struggled and strived and made it the highest, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will help us. And we all know what the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. If you don't, it's in here. It's right there. The help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is unlike any other help. So, I just want to wrap it up now, okay, with one more hadith. It's the hadith is in Muslim, talks about Islam. Talks about Islam began as something strange. What does it mean? What does it mean by Islam started as something strange? Is it something weird? Did they do something that human beings couldn't do before? No, it started as something weird, as not the norm of society. It started as something not the norm of that society. That's why we saw such a rejection to our Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The strangers. It started as something strange and will return as something strange. Return as something not norm to society. Do we see Islam today? Do we see any Muslim countries ruling by Islam? No, this is something strange. So give glad tidings to the strangers. Do we not want to be those strangers? Do we not want to be those that get the glad tidings, that bring back Islam? JazakAllah khair for listening to my talk.
Thanks for downloading this podcast. You can subscribe to it from our blogspot at centralmod.blogspot.com to receive our weekly podcast. Assalamu alaikum.